Welcome to the show. You know what time it is, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Thursday night. This is Long Shots Radio, Prime Time Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Guy Sports Talk Radio, this is what we're about. Gambling tips, the big wagers, the biggest games. Do you want to be on the right side? Listening to the radio show, Long Shots Radio, Primetime Edition, with your host, Donnie Wrightside, recapping what happens during the week and also what's going to happen along with future impacts and upcoming matchups. Gambling tips is what we're all about. What we look for, why is the line moving? Public versus Vegas. This is the show where it all goes down exclusively on TrendBetting.com. A sensational summer ahead of full baseball action, NBA playoffs in full swing, NHL playoffs in full swing. What a great time to be in the industry, folks. Sit back, grab a chair, grab the best cigar you have. Listen up. It's Long Shots Radio, Primetime Edition, with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Welcome to the show. It's Long Shots Radio, Monday Major League Baseball edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. This is indeed my favorite time of the week. So happy I can bring the show to you on a Monday. Major League Baseball in full swing over the weekend, as you know. Hopefully everybody had a fantastic Father's Day. I know I did. And also, yesterday, betting baseball games, we only had one game in action yesterday, and we're going to review that in just a few moments. But let's get right into the PGA Tour. I know we like to talk a lot about baseball, but what a fascinating week it was at Chambers Bay in the state of Washington. Great tournament, came down to very last putt on the last hole. Great theater, and I love it being an East Coast guy, getting primetime golf action where you can do whatever you need to do throughout the day. Because as you know, being a father, Father's Day, you know, we like to pick and choose what we like to do. I love to watch the U.S. Open on Father's Day, the final round. It's great. But a lot of times, I mean, it starts, you know, guys are teeing off at 3:30 in the afternoon Eastern Standard Time, getting over at about maybe 7:30-ish East Coast time. So, I mean, it takes up a lot of your day. But yesterday I was able to get out and about, get everything done with the family, hang out, had a fantastic time. Then you get to go home, buckle up, and sit in and watch the final round. Jordan Spieth, back-to-back major winners as a 21-year-old, is definitely an impressive feat. Dustin Johnson had it all right there for the taking, just couldn't finish it off. And we've all been there with that 3.5-4-foot putt that you just read, you get over it, and you get a little bit of the yips, you miss it. But that's, most of us are missing it with three people in our foursome watching us, as opposed to maybe 30 million people on TV and thousands who were there at Chambers Bay to watch that. So it was a fantastic day, great tournament. All I ask for is just give me some drama coming down the back nine. And that leaderboard switched up 5 to 6 times in the last three holes in the last 20 minutes. Somebody had it locked in. Next thing you know, they double bogeyed. The next person has it locked in. Next thing you know, they double bogey. Comes all the way down to the final hole. And just, as I said again, great, great theater for Father's Day. Jordan Spieth is going to move on to the British Open and see if he can take down a third straight major. He's got to be a favorite. I haven't seen any opening lines on the British Open, but the way the kid's playing, I mean, nothing seems to faze him one bit. And again, he's only 21 years old, so definitely a bright future. Don't want to get ahead of yourself and say, hey, you know, this guy could be the next Tiger Woods. This guy could be the next Jack Nicklaus. He does have two majors just to catch Tiger. He's got 12 more to go. So let's not put a bronze statue up yet as the best golfer ever. We already did that with Rory McIlroy about 2 years ago. So we'll see where that goes. But definitely golf's in good hands with a couple of these young guys. Dustin Johnson, I mean, hey, he turned 31 today. So I mean, he has at least a decade more of great golf. And I just can't believe he didn't finish that one off. I mean, all day long, just bombs, 330, 340, right down the middle, irons locked in. Just couldn't get a couple of those putts to fall during the round. You know, those mid-rangers, 10 to 15 feet, where he's just missing those. He holds one or two of those. He might be walking away a victor. But again, Jordan Spieth takes the win over that. And again, as I said, Major League Baseball was in full swing yesterday. Didn't like a lot on the card and was glad that we didn't fire on too many plays. We pushed on our only play yesterday, which was the Cleveland Indians for the first five innings. Going to review and recap what happened yesterday. But again, this is why I love my Monday shows, because we're going to take a fresh look at the card tonight. Major League Baseball typically on Mondays is not a full boat or full house. So we're going to get to look in a couple of these instances. And you know, I already saw my Phillies getting about plus 250 versus Michael Pineda. I mean, when does the joke end? Now, yesterday, you know, Michael Wacha, who's just dominant for St. Louis playing very well. The Phillies, you know, brought up Felipe Almonte. He got destroyed. He's a tomato can. They brought up another tomato can yesterday to start opposite Michael Wacha. The kid actually pitched really well. He hadn't won a game in about 2 or 3 years, including the minor leagues, and that was – his major league debut yesterday, and did pitch fairly well, only giving up, I believe, a solo shot to Peralta. I believe that was yesterday. But the Phillies handled the St. Louis Cardinals very easily and beat them, you know, gave them a little taste of their own medicine. But, I mean, the Phillies are neither here nor there. You're going to look at them all year long as a plus 200. The only guy you can probably cap is Cole Hamels, because now he's going to be getting plus money the rest of the year. He's going to pitch. He's going to pitch well, give you 6 to 7 innings of 0 to 1, maybe 2 runs of baseball. So you definitely want to look at him over the first 5 innings, the remainder of the season. But anybody else in the Phillies, it's fair game, because it's a terrible combination to have retread bum tomato can pitchers pitching for you, as well as a starting 9 that can just about get you 2 runs if they're even lucky enough to do that. So once again, Cole Hamels, the only guy you're going to want to take a look at the Phillies for the remainder of the season, and I don't even know if that's enough. So, I mean, it's definitely tough. You're going to be a contrarian if you're playing the Phillies religiously, even though they're going to be getting, you know, plus 200 or whatnot throughout the season. So, I mean, again, Philadelphia Phillies, you might want to cross them off there. Just every 5th day, Cole Hamels on the bump. He's going to get traded soon, and after that, all hell is going to break loose, where they're just going to be bringing up tomato can after tomato can up out of the minor league system. So something to definitely keep an eye on. Back to the show, folks. Long Shots Radio, Monday, Major League Baseball edition with your host, Donnie Wrightsap. Welcome to the show. It's Sky Sports Talk Radio. You know the wagers I like to play. You know the seasons that I like to play. NCAA basketball, NCAA football, NFL, Major League Baseball. Love the fantasy industry as well. We do have guest callers in. Alex AK47 has called the show many, many times to review that, and also my good buddy Jay Woody as well. And once we get a little bit closer to football season, we're going to have some season previews and also ways to go about setting up your daily DFS lineup so you can help cash in and put you on the right side. Down the line, we're going to eventually take calls. You know, we do the show 2 times a week now, Monday at noon and also Thursday primetime. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Love to recap what happens during the week, what's going on, and future impact. As you hear me say all the time, take as much information in as you can, because down the line you can apply those numbers and that information and systems to plays down the line and help you out in a future type betting situation. Always learning, no matter what. I mean, you know me, I've been in this game at least 20 years, and I can't tell you enough that it doesn't matter. If somebody has something interesting to look at or a system or angle that works for them, I'm all in. I listen to everything, no matter how cockamamie the system seems to sound, or I can't even believe you're using those numbers, or, you know, anything. The only thing I don't like to look at is something that happened back in like 1964 and apply that to use for today, because I just don't believe in that. If you're outside maybe a 1 or 2 year window, I don't want to hear about it. I don't care if the Philadelphia Eagles beat the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco in 1994, and that means they're going to beat them again this year. I think that's ludicrous and ridiculous. I know some people like to use that, but that's the only type of stat or situation that I certainly do not pay any attention to. Gambling tips on the show, what we look for, why is the line moving, and again, public versus Vegas. Always use that as a barometer. If you're betting contrarian style and going against the public the last week and a half, you're probably doing yourself very, very well. On Friday, I loved the card on Friday. Bet a couple of aces on the mound at some good numbers, and we ended up at a 1-3-1 clip. Couldn't believe it, but hey, those are the breaks. Saturday came back. We were 2-1 in the afternoon, but dropped the nightcap with the Arizona Diamondbacks versus the San Diego Padres for a 2-2 Saturday. Then yesterday, our only play on the card, the Cleveland Indians, with a young gun coming up from the minor league system versus the hot Tampa Bay Rays. And, I mean, if I would have told you that the young kid would not give up a single run over the first 5 innings in our wager, I'd have probably said we had a good day. I mean, Alex Colome gives up 300 averages to both right and left hitters alike, and the Cleveland Indians were stacking left-handed batters against them. I figured they'd be able to scratch out about 3 runs over those first 5 innings. Wasn't meant to be, so we did push on that wager at 0-0. No harm, no foul. and we'll be going back at it tonight. Reason why we're here, folks, again, this is Long Shots Radio. We do it on trendbetting.com on Monday and Thursday. It's a really, really good site, folks. If you haven't been there yet, please take the time to go online, click on trendbetting.com, click on the experts tab in the top right-hand corner. You'll see the team right up and front, packages cheap and affordable, something for everybody in the equation. Lucky Lance Williams, the CEO and founder of the website, myself, Donnie Wrightside, CJ the Razor, Alex the AK-47, MMAJ, Travis the Hitman Terry, Jeff Brandeis, the Saffinator, Frank Buzz, and also Brian Perk. Something for everybody there, whether you like soccer, tennis, MMA, NASCAR, you know, you want to bet favorites, you want to bet underdogs, we have something for everybody. Price is cheap and affordable. Reach out to us on Twitter, me, myself, at RightsideVP, and also on Facebook at Donnie Wrightside. Any questions you have, anything you want to bring up, just run something by me. Let me know. Shoot me a DM or contact me on either one of those. Always happy to help out. And as I said, in the future for this show, we do want to take this to a full 5 days and give at least an hour a day. We'll eventually work our way up to it. I know a lot of people tuning in hear the same thing that I say, but we're gaining followers and more listeners every week, and sometimes the people don't know quite what I'm about, so I'm just going to go over a quick bio of myself also. Again, been in the game for over 20 years online with RightsideValuePlays.com and TrendBetting.com for about 3 years. We take the 401k approach typically, that if it's not there, we're not going to fire, and we live to fight another day. Gambling is used as a lifetime wager, folks. What I mean by that is, you don't have to get the plane at night. If you had a losing day or you didn't do so well early, there was no need last night to press it and say, I'm going to take an underdog in the San Francisco Giants last night versus the Los Angeles Dodgers and get all my money back. That's not what we're about. That's not what you should be about. Take it as another day. Hey, you had a couple wagers yesterday you fired on. Maybe you won, maybe you lost, but there's no need to press outside of what you liked originally on the card. There's always, especially in baseball season, anywhere between, I mean, look at tonight. What do you have? Maybe 8 games tonight, followed up by maybe, you know, between 13 to 15 games on any other given day. If you don't like the games, sit it out, have a beer, have a cigar, watch the game on TV. If you had a lean on the game, just sit back and watch to see what was going to happen and where you can certainly improve on your numbers. But again, folks, take that 401k approach. Use this as a lifetime gambling to build your bankroll the right way. It's always the best thing to do. So once again, go to trendbetting.com, click on the experts tab. Price is cheap and affordable. Reach out to any one of us here. We're always here to help you out. And also myself, I do put out some videos from time to time. As we get more time on those as well, I would like to put those out in upcoming for football season. Reach out to me again at RightsideVP, Facebook at Donnie Wrightside, and certainly let me know how we can be of assistance to you. We do have a quick show today. Got about 15 minutes left, so we're going to dip immediately into some interactions and go over some information on how we can, you know, better help you in some Major League Baseball this evening. So, folks, hold the line there. It's Long Shots Radio, Major League Baseball Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Hey, folks, this is Donnie Wrightside with TrendBetting.com. You've heard me on Long Shots Radio Primetime and Major League Baseball Edition on the radio. Just wanted to let you know the team at TrendBetting.com is ready to work for you. If you have not done so in the past, folks, click on TrendBetting.com. Go to the experts tabs. A team and a fleet of staff is ready and available to assist you in building your bankroll needs. Lucky Lance Williams, CJ the Razor, Alex the AK-47, MMAJ, Travis the Hitman Terry, Jeff Brandeis, the Saffinator, Frank Buzz, and Brian Perks. There is something for everybody here at TrendBetting.com. Prices cheap and affordable. NCAA action, National Football League, NBA, fantasy football. It's all here and waiting for you. Join the team at TrendBetting.com. Prices are cheap and affordable. Let us put you on the right side at TrendBetting.com. folks, welcome back to the show, Long Shots Radio, Monday Major League Baseball edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Let's dip right into some baseball action, reviewing on what we took a look at yesterday and some of the games and how they ended up, and just to see exactly what went down and what we thought probably should have happened but maybe didn't happen. Looking at that early game yesterday, the first one to kick off the day was the New York Yankees and also the Detroit Tigers. Taking a look at that game on the outset, you had Sanchez versus Tanaka. Now, if you remember a couple, I would say maybe, I guess it was his last start, maybe his second to last start for Tanaka. He was down in Miami and had a fairly decent day. Didn't give up runs, but gave up some base runners and some base hits. Didn't have his A-plus game because, as you know, he has that elbow inflammation, which he came gave it a month off, came back off the DL, had two sensational starts, then sort of lagged a little bit in Miami, so we saw a little bit of a red flag. A lot of people, you know, public-wise, were quick to jump on that game because you're looking at Sanchez, who maybe, if you didn't look at the numbers, threw two straight shutouts heading into this Yankees game. But the Yankees been hot. They were at home. They're stacking left-handed bats against Sanchez, so you might have thought it would have some good value there. But that line steadily went down. I believe it was up to around 165, and it closed below 150, and for good reason, looking at that game on itself. And Tanaka wasn't himself, and he got his brains beat in. I mean, that lineup with Davis, Kinsler, Cabrera, Cespedes, Martinez, even Holiday got in on the action. But the star of the day was J.D. Martinez. I mean, the guy was going yard left and right, and they really, really busted out the New York Yankees, which was kind of surprising. But in a way, we sort of had a good feel that that might have happened just because of the simple fact that Tanaka, I mean, that elbow still is going to be a problem. And we saw him leaking a little bit of oil down there in Miami, able to get out of some situations with double play balls and got a little bit lucky there. So we let off that game completely, but that was an absolute hammer. In the next game of the day, it was the Blue Jays and the Orioles. I mean, anytime you get these two teams together, especially in the Dome up in Toronto, you're looking at a lot of runs, especially from that front five there for the Blue Jays. You got Reyes, Donaldson, Batista, Encarnacion, and Smoke. And then, of course, the Orioles can also light up the scoreboard as well. Most people looking at the Scott Copeland last two games, I mean, he's only been up just a little bit. Pitched a very good game, leaked a little bit of oil, and yesterday got utterly destroyed. That game was very interesting because I believe the Orioles got out to a 6-0 lead or a 7-0 lead right away and actually gave up the lead but came all the way back with a nice convincing 13-9 win and covering that total easily of 9, but also as a nice road dog winner. Stayed away from that game. We didn't really have too much of a lean because, again, Tillman's a gas can. Copeland was just about to explode. You don't really know what you're going to get in that situation there. Marlins and the Reds last game yesterday. Interesting game, 5-2. The night before on Saturday, we looked at that game and also obviously had the Reds. Young kid coming in the pitch for the Florida Marlins. He wasn't a really good guy. Cincinnati had a decent starting staff and starting to come around with the bats. They just, you know, didn't play very well at all. And I believe lost that game 3-0 after five innings and lost the game outright. But they came back with a 5-2 winner yesterday. That was Phelps versus Lorenzen. Again, two guys that are really just hitting this. But the one thing I do like is finally, hopefully, the Reds might be getting a little bit of stability under their legs there. You know, you got Phillip Flotto, Frazier, Bruce Pena, Bird as that top six, which is pretty good. Suarez is going to fill in there for Zach Cozart, and then you lead off after the pitcher with Billy Hamilton. So that's a very good and formidable lineup. It's got everything that you want. Frazier and Votto with a little bit of power and accuracy. Jay Bruce, I mean, hit or miss. I mean, the guy's going to, you know, hit home runs, he's going to strike out, but that's, I guess that's what you take out of that fourth or fifth hole, just to sort of get a launching pad there. But I always liked Hamilton and Phillips going back-to-back there. I like speed at the top of the lineups, especially in the National League, but the Reds did pull that one out as a winner. Yesterday, our play of the day was the Indians and the Rays. Looked like it was going to be a pretty good one there based on the numbers. Calame with 5.14 ERA going against Cody Anderson, who's a young guy, but had a really, really good career so far down in the minor league systems. And as I said, again, they threw complete left-handed batters. Threw complete left-handed batters at Calame, who's given up over 300 to left-handed hitters. They couldn't get anything together. I don't even think they got a base hit through that first five innings, but the young kid Anderson did handle it. They ended up winning on a David Murphy sack fly in the ninth inning for a 1-0 win, but I was hoping we can get scratch out maybe two or three runs over those first five on Colome. You know me, I haven't bet for Colome all year, and I religiously bet against him and it seems like Ruby De La Rosa of the Arizona Diamondbacks, just to give you a good look on that end. But that was our only play of the day, which ended up in a push. Again, no harm, no foul. We had a couple leans later in the day with Matt Harvey and the Mets. Matt Harvey was great, but they ended up losing that game 1-0. Also had a lead on the Seattle Mariners yesterday versus the Houston Astros. Glad we laid out that as well because J-Hap did not have a very good day there. as well. But again, when you don't have to fire on games, there's no force. You just move on and look forward to the next day and get right back on top of it. Just to review some other scores yesterday, the Nats and Gio Gonzalez bombed Morton. They were up, I believe, 8 or 9 to nothing right away in the first inning off of Morton, who had a really good run so far. I believe he won his first 5 games or 6 games of the year, had an ERA of around 2, and he got destroyed, so the ERA is certainly going to jump higher. Phillies in the surprise of the day, beating Michael Wacha and the St. Louis Cardinals. White Sox pulled out a 3-2 win over the Rangers. The Red Sox bombed Kansas City 13-2. You know, maybe the Red Sox can certainly turn that corner and be a viable betting option, which hopefully they can go in that right direction, because the lineup, when it's on paper, 1-9 for them, when healthy, is a very, very good lineup. But again, the key ingredient there is, can they ever get any starting pitching? Cubs with an easy 8-0 win over the Twins. The Athletics in a 3-2 win over the Anaheim Angels. Astros 6-2 win over the Mariners. That was another lean we had, which would have lost. But then again, if you don't like it enough to put your money on it, don't do it. Rockies 10-4, Matt Garza. I mean, it's one of those games where you just look at it. I mean, Rusin's a terrible pitcher for them, a lefty. But when you take Colorado in Colorado, you sort of get what you get. It's really a coin flip there. But, you know, just by rule of thumb, if your average run-of-the-mill retread a la Matt Garza is in Colorado, there's a really good chance, like he's, I mean, forget about 7 innings and 2 runs. There's a good chance it's 4 innings and 7 runs when these retreads get out, especially in Colorado. You know, you don't see me bet Rockies games that often, especially in Colorado. It's the same way I take approach of a knuckleball or similar to R.A. Dickey for the Toronto Blue Jays. You never know what you're going to get. So, I mean, if you're taking it into the equation and saying, you know, hey, it could go either way, that's not a good premise or a good way to bet. You say, oh, man, you know, in April, Dickey doesn't pitch that well, and then he turns it on in May. How do you know that? I mean, really. I mean, he could get into any game, just knuckleball's not working, and he gets shelled, or he can go and throw damn near no hitter in a game. It's just, it's a really, really weird dynamic with a knuckleballer. It's the same type of effect I take when betting a game with the Colorado Rockies. Also, last night, the Diamondbacks 7-2. I wish they would have won the last night or previous 7-2, but hey, that's what makes baseball fantastic. Braves were a late start yesterday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Picked up a 1-0 win. Teheran was great. So was Matt Harvey. Shame somebody had to lose in that one, but it did end up 1-0, and the Dodgers pelted the San Francisco Giants finally and got that win at 10-2. Today, there's some good bits of information. We have a couple minutes left in the show. Time for one last break, and when we come back on, we're going to go over some Major League Baseball edition for tonight and certainly give you some leans of what we might look for as we take a fresh look together. Folks, hang on there. Long Shots Radio Monday Major League Baseball edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Hey, folks, this is Donnie Wrightside with TrendBetting.com. You've heard me on Long Shots Radio Primetime and Major League Baseball Edition on the radio. Just wanted to let you know the team at TrendBetting.com is ready to work for you. If you have not done so in the past, folks, click on TrendBetting.com. Go to the Experts tabs. A team and a fleet of staff is ready and available to assist you in building your bankroll needs. Lucky Lance Williams, CJ the Razor, Alex the AK-47, MMAJ, Travis the Hitman Terry, Jeff Brandeis the Saffinator, Frank Buzz, and Brian Perks. There is something for everybody here at TrendBetting.com. Prices cheap and affordable. NCAA action, National Football League, NBA, fantasy football. It's all here and waiting for you. Join the team at TrendBetting.com. Prices are cheap and affordable. Let us put you on the right side at TrendBetting.com. Folks, welcome back to the show, Long Shots Radio Monday, Major League Baseball edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Let's get right into it. In the last couple minutes, we have a quick look and take a fresh approach to tonight's Major League Baseball card. Just doing a brief overview, there's some outrageous lines, a la the New York Yankees at about minus 275. And a road team, the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, Kershaw's on the mound, but it looks like they're hovering about 185 to 180. So that is a little bit high because, you know, Chicago Cubs aren't exactly a pushover type team. They can win, and also Clayton Kershaw on the road. Sometimes when it goes out of division, there's a little bit to be desired, and we're certainly going to take a look and put that into the equation tonight. Let's take a look at that first game there. L.A. Dodgers versus Chicago Cubs. Both teams coming into this game fresh off of wins last night. The only thing that makes it a little bit interesting as well, as another added caveat, Los Angeles Dodgers played a late-night game on the West Coast, flying into Chicago today to play an 8:05 start. So you see Yoshi Wada on the mound versus Clayton Kershaw. Should be an interesting battle. Wada's not really on my radar. And what I mean by that is, you know, he can go 3 innings, 4 innings, 5 innings on any given night. When you know Clayton Kershaw is going to go out there, and even if he battles, he's going 7 innings. It's the same way with starting pitcher Zach Greinke. Those two guys will give you an honest effort, even though the numbers really don't match up with the overall lines, because everybody's going to be betting these two guys. You just see an ace on the mound with the Dodgers, and their 1-8 is really impressive when they go with their big boy lineup. So it's always, you're always going to be paying a little bit of a tax on those teams, similar to like you'd paid on the Yankees in the late 1990s and early 2000s. They're always going to be at least 10 to 15 cents higher than technically what they should be, and for good reason. I mean, when you take Kershaw, I mean, you're looking at 8 innings and 1 run. That's really what you're aiming for each and every night. And especially with that lineup backing them behind it, there's no question that they can cover those numbers. So taking a look early on that, we're probably not going to have a lean one way or another on that one, but we'll certainly dig into some Kershaw numbers on the road, especially in Chicago, to see how he fares. But I won't be taking Chicago. I don't think there's much value with Wada. I just don't like the way the guy pitches, a little bit soft, and of course goes, you know, has the ability to go 3 to 4 innings, which would really damage you in a full game type of scenario. Detroit and Cleveland tonight, you have Ryan, the lefty, on the line versus Trevor Bauer. Bauer's a good pitcher. I mean, he is a little bit Jekyll and Hyde, but he is 6-3 on the season with a 3.22 ERA, whipped right around 1. It's about maybe 1.2 in that area, so he definitely does pique our interest. Looks like he's hovering there right around that 140 range, which is about right on that, so we'll keep an eye on that equation. Toronto and Tampa Bay going tonight down in the Dome. Andreese again. I mean, I don't know what the figure with this guy, because I don't think he's very good, but the last start that they had versus Washington, where they threw the closer and then Andreese right behind them, worked out really well as they pitched. I believe five pitchers went in that game and shut out the Washington Nationals lineup. Hutchinson, you know, I love the kid. The kid struggles on the road, though, man. He's 9-5 in his teams in the 14 starts that he started. Himself is 6-1, but he has a 5. I mean, it's amazing. Look at that. Toronto, 6-1. The starter is 6-1, and his ERA is 5 with a whip approaching 1.5, which is just amazing to me. I love Hutchinson at home, but on the road he does seem to struggle in those type of environments. Chicago White Sox and the Minnesota Twins. Twins usually typically a good home team. Maloney on the mound for them, as well as Danks. Danks is usually a great fade for us, so we're definitely going to take a look and really eye up the Minnesota Twins, especially after getting busted out last night 8-0. They might be hungry. Lefty is on the mound in Danks, and he's just not a very good pitcher overall. So we're definitely going to have that on the agenda to take a look at the Houston Astros and the L.A. Angels. Oberholzer, very good pitcher there versus Santiago. He's actually been pitching really well as of late, and that L.A. Angels lineup seems to be waking up a little bit now. They're getting a little bit more healthy, and Pujols seems to be back to being Albert Pujols. Kansas City Royals and Seattle Mariners. Looks like early on the card there, Joe Blanton is up with a 1.80 ERA this year against King Felix in Seattle. You don't bet against King Felix in Seattle. That's rule number one. So we're going to take a look at that side to see where that falls and to see what type of lineups are out, because that is a 10-10 start. Last game of the night we're going to take a look at is the Philadelphia Phillies and the New York Yankees. Don't really know what we're looking at, but we will take a look at it. As Michael Pineda, I mean, there's a good chance that he goes 7 or 8 innings and doesn't give up much. The Phillies don't really translate to an American League team, because when they bring up a DH, it's like Cesar Hernandez, who maybe has 1 home run on the year. So they're at a real deficit right off the bat. It'd be a shame if Ryan Howard was anything worth his merit. He'd be a great DH, and they could just fill in right behind him. But when you go to American League ball park and you have Correa on the mound versus Pineda, it doesn't hold very well, and that's a -275 line. One way or another, we're not going to be taking the game, so that's just the way it is. Folks, been another great edition of Long Shots Radio Major League Baseball Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Good luck, take care, and we'll see you again.